We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Muse, the brain-sensing headband that helps you meditate and sleep, and Meditation Studio, the five-star app. I'm Patricia Karpus. I'm excited about today's guest, Kyle Rand, because I think the work that he's doing is pretty breakthrough and has enormous potential for shifting loneliness and social isolation in many populations. Kyle founded a company called Rendezvous, which uses virtual reality technology to deliver experiences that help to reduce social isolation and loneliness in the aging population. They have created a large library of content, from travel to symphonies to meditation and so much more. The experiences are transformative. Their work has been amazing with some great validated results. He grew up volunteering in a senior living community, which has inspired this work, and went on to study cognitive decline in the aging population. His neuroscience research was largely focused on the link between functional structural changes in the brain that happen as you age. That said, I think his technology and content has the potential to help many populations. Now, here's Kyle. Kyle, welcome to Untangle. It's great to have you on our show today. And I have to say, this is a topic we have not covered at all yet. So I'm super excited to get your perspectives on virtual reality. I'd like to start with the question, tell us a little bit about Rendezvous and what brought you to VR and specifically why you're focused on seniors.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. So first of all, thank you, Patricia, for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be here. To start there, Rendezvous is a company that was founded, believe it or not, 6 years ago. We're about to celebrate our sixth birthday, which for a VR company is pretty old. So we were founded with a very specific mission of reducing social isolation for the aging population. And the way we do that is we do it through the power of positive shared experiences. And our preferred way of delivering those experiences to date has been through the use of virtual reality technology. So what you would see with Rendezvous is a senior living community would have a group of Rendezvous headsets, and they would bring a bunch of residents down into a community room, sit them all down in nice, comfortable seats. Everyone would put on a VR headset, and then they would immediately be transported to standing on top of the Eiffel Tower or swimming with dolphins or riding in a hot air balloon ride. And importantly, they get transported there together. So they put on those headsets and all of a sudden they're taking a group trip through the streets of Paris. And by getting these really wonderful experiences and these beautiful views, and we haven't quite cracked the code on scent in VR yet, but some of our communities will have croissants baking in the background. So really making a full-on experience. What you see is you see these really beautiful, engaging conversations start to take shape, and people really start to engage in not only the experience, but in the experience together. And that's what it's all about. It's about planting those little seeds of relationships through these experiences that then after a 30-minute long VR session, they're going to take their headsets off and that conversation that started is going to continue. They're going to go sit down at lunch. They're going to sit at dinner together. And they're going to continue that conversation. And it might sound hard to believe, but we've actually seen studies show that after just 2 weeks of daily shared experiences using the Rendezvous platform, residents have had statistically significant decrease in their depression scores and increases in multiple measures of social well-being. Most interestingly, people actually have started to trust each other more through these experiences, which is when you think about relationships, it's so fundamental. And so it's really exciting.
Why do you think it's having such a big impact on reducing social isolation? And why is social isolation so detrimental to our mental health? And what are some of the other things? I mean, you think about seniors doing art projects and playing cards and maybe outside games. And so how is BR making a bigger impact in terms of how they are in community?
Yeah. Let's start with the social isolation piece. I think looking back at the past 2+ years of this COVID-19 pandemic, it's hard to deny the fact that there is at least a little bit of a silver lining from our perspective in that everybody across the world has now experienced social isolation firsthand. Everybody has gone through this process where, I know me personally, the year 2020, I was going in with all these big goals and ideas and I was going to be traveling a whole bunch. And all of a sudden the world got totally shut. And those doors got closed. And to have an entire goal in life and all of a sudden it's just, bam, you're stuck at home. That's what happens to a lot of older adults. And I think it's really beautiful that we've all had this experience and that we all know firsthand just how tough it can be to be isolated for an extended period of time. And luckily, the world has started to open up. But for a lot of older adults, those doors stay closed. And if you look at the data, what we're seeing with the aging population is social isolation ties to a 30% increase in risk of stroke, a 30% increase in risk of heart disease, a 50% increase in risk of dementia. It has ties to immunosuppression. It has ties to diabetes. It has ties to depression and anxiety and suicide. And collectively, studies have found that social isolation is as detrimental to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And it ties to a 30% increase in mortality rates for the aging population. And when you look at that data, it's alarming in every form of the way. And we saw, and I saw it firsthand with my own grandmother when we made that transition. And it's a dangerous place to be. And it's important that as we're coming out of the pandemic, we all turn our eyes this way and say, how can we make sure that the aging process is better, it's happier, it's healthier, and most importantly, it's more connected?
And why did you choose VR as your platform, given you could have chosen a music platform? There's a lot of other ways to mitigate social isolation. What is it about virtual reality that becomes this foundation of human connection and positive shared experiences?
Patricia, have you spent a lot of time in VR?
I have not. I have definitely experienced it, but I haven't spent a lot of time.
Okay, cool. For the past 6 years, we've had residents of senior living communities spend over 2 years of collective time wearing VR headsets, which I think is an amazing stat. That's so much time. And if you go back 6 years ago when we were getting started, people asked, do you really think that this technology, like it was cutting edge, it was brand new for consumers. Do you really think you can use that technology with a population that the world tends to think of as being pretty tech averse?
That's what I was just thinking, actually.
And it makes sense. It's a totally valid question. But again, 2 years of time that has been spent in these headsets. And so for me, it's easy to think about my grandfather. My grandfather is 93 years old. He lives at home. He has full-time care. And he loves to play canasta. Like he loves canasta. And if there's an opportunity, I'm actually heading down there tomorrow. I'm sure that we're going to spend probably half a day playing canasta. He does move a little bit slower these days, but he loves it. And this is true of residents of communities all over the place. You can't deny how wonderful cards are. And you can't deny that bingo in most senior living communities is actually one of the most popularly attended events. And our take is not that VR replaces the other forms of engaging, but what's so magical about this technology is it exists on a whole other level. What we get to say is we can ask someone, if you could go anywhere in the world, anywhere, right now, where would you want to go? And then as soon as they say, oh, I want to go to Wyoming, then give us 15 seconds and we'll put them in Wyoming. We'll put, I don't know why I chose Wyoming.
Let's go horseback riding.
Yeah, like let's go horseback riding in the plains of Wyoming. I've never been to Wyoming. For listeners that are from Wyoming, I hope you enjoy that as my choice. But the opportunity to really just serve up the entire world and be able to say, yes, you can go there. Yes, you can exist there. When a lot of what the aging process is defined by, it's defined by gradual decreases in accessibility.
Yes, and loss and sadness. Yeah.
And so your doors are slowly closing. And to be able to just swing those doors wide open through the immersive nature of VR, it's something that just never gets old. I go to a community still, like I was in a community last week, and it was the highlight of my week because getting to use the technology and see the reactions and see the pure awe and joy and wonder that comes through opening someone's door in that way, it's thrilling. It's incredible.
In one of the articles I read, you said older adults have always had a very special place in your heart for as long as you can remember. As a kid, you and your friends spent every summer volunteering and scooping rum raisin ice cream with chocolate sprinkles, volunteering at a local senior community. What was it about the senior community as a young kid? Have to be honest, I think most young kids are afraid of senior communities. You see this often. What was it about you that made that such an important activity?
There's a whole conversation to have about how, especially Western society, our relationship to the process of aging is fundamentally unhealthy. And there's a lot of work that we as a society can be doing on that, but that's a separate conversation. For me, I think I was really blessed to have wonderful grandmothers on both sides. And on my mom's side, I love this little personal anecdote. I have, I think, 25 cousins on my mom's side. She was one of seven. And so it's a big, loud, boisterous family. But I was the first and I think only grandchild that my grandmother came and was there for my birth. And I think from the moment I learned that, I think I just formed like a really, really close relationship with my grandmother. Her name was actually Patricia. I don't think I've told you that. And my middle name is Patrick, named after her.
Oh, interesting.
My mom's middle name is Patricia as well. So love your name. So I had really close relationships with my grandparents. And I think that that really made it hard to think that there was anything wrong with older adults or there was anything scary about older adults. Like they were the sweetest people ever.
What a gift. And you also talked about how you spent some time during your educational period studying the cognitive decline in the aging population, and you were interested in decision-making processes and understanding the correlation between structural changes in the brain and the deficits in decision-making that occur as humans age. Was that research impactful and a big part of why you went forward with this?
Definitely. The biggest thing that I learned, obviously, there was a ton of neuroscience research. There was a ton of understanding of the brain. Like I was really lucky to be a part of that lab. But I think the biggest thing that I learned in how we have taken the approach to building this product, this platform, this company is that user experience really matters. And this goes back to the earlier conversation about tech aversion. I think what a lot of people fail to understand is that it's not that older adults are naturally scared or afraid or have this aversion to technology. It's more that nobody likes to feel frustrated. And the older population, earlier generations, didn't grow up with technology to the same extent that you and I and younger generations have. The most important thing when we introduce technology is that there's no risk of frustration, or we're handling that frustration ahead of time. And so that was really fundamental. Like in that lab, I would sit there and I designed all these experiments and programmed them all. And so take full accountability for the fact they were ugly, but also as a nature of doing research, that you're limited in the design that you could do. So we would be going through these really poorly designed cognitive paradigms on these old computers, these old giant keypads. And I just got to see how important it was to make sure that things were simple. You can focus on the experience as long as the technology is simple. And that's been what we've taken in our approach to user experience for our platform.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've ever thought about therapy and haven't quite jumped in yet, it may be the right time to explore BetterHelp. Whether you're looking for new coping skills or to improve a relationship, or maybe dealing with some social anxiety or just need to recharge your batteries so you can be the best version of yourself, therapy is great. And this could be just the right time to give BetterHelp a shot. Finding a therapist through BetterHelp is easy. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and they do their best to match you with a licensed therapist that's a great fit for you. Visit betterhelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, help.com/untangle. Now back to our show. And what do you mean by simple? So for example, when you put the VR headset onto a senior, there's a little button you turn on, you put in your program or your piece of content, and there it goes. Or is there some other?
Even simpler than that.
Even simpler. Okay.
Yeah. For older adults, the way we designed the platform was all you have to do is put on the headset. And then you're immediately in the experience, you're in the platform. And then what we've done is we actually took the entire interface away from the headset and we put it in the hands of senior living staff or family members or volunteers. We put it in the hands of the younger generation. So they have this tablet where they're able to control and launch experiences and really navigate the users through the world, through each experience. And what that does is it really allows and enables the older adult to just be in the experience and enjoy the experience and enjoy the conversation that comes about through that. But then importantly, because we moved everything to the tablet, we also took another step forward in making sure that we never want our platform to just be like an entertainment device. We're really here to foster connection. And the way you do that is through fostering conversation. And so on the tablet, with every single experience that we launch, our experience team and programming team do a phenomenal job here. Every single experience has some conversational overlay on top of it, ways to prompt dialogue, sometimes full-on scripts that people could read for a full hour to really disseminate information and get people to talk. And that's really a critical point, because when you do it the right way, you're not just showing someone a view from the top of the Eiffel Tower. You are talking to them about the entire history of Paris, and then you are getting them to share moments and memories from when they took that trip to Paris with their family, one vacation during one summer decades ago.
And is this facilitated by someone at the senior center, or is this built into the platform?
What we do as a company, what Rendezvous does is we're really focused on empowering the staff members to create these magical moments. So we do all of the upfront work. The staff have all the tools that they're available at their fingertips on that tablet. So the staff member really get to focus on the delivery. They get to focus on what happens when a conversation starts and get to be a part of that conversation.
You say, and I think you might have already mentioned this, but I underlined it and put a star next to it here, that the results show that within only 2 weeks of using Rendezvous daily, residents reported a statistically significant increase in multiple social health measures, including feelings of trust, and a statistically significant decrease in depression scores. There was no doubt that you were onto something and went all in educating the market. You've got such a fantastic product for seniors, and you're having such positive statistical results related to depression and trust and social isolation and social health measures. So it just begs the question, could this be expanded into other health-related issues? Could this be something that's offered at hospitals? Could this help children in hospitals? Could this help cancer patients? Could this help neurodegenerative illnesses? And I'm curious if you've thought about that or if you're really focused on your mission to be a support to senior communities.
Totally. So the answer is yes to both. I think obviously, of course, we are dedicated to our mission. What we've done over the years is we've expanded our understanding to really be that the opportunity that we have as a company is we have this huge opportunity to impact anyone whose life has become limited. And that's not just older adults. And I think one of the first steps forward was back in 2017, the team over at UC Health out in Colorado, they reached out and they saw what we were doing. They saw the approach that we took, and going back to the user experience, they saw how easy it was to use. And they were like, this is what we need for our healthcare population too. And so we started piloting with them years ago, looking at inpatient, outpatient cancer and infusion clinics and the opportunity for really strong impact on those individuals. And that is another situation where someone has had an entire life in front of them, and then all of a sudden cancer came in and said, nope, you're going to come in, you're going to sit in the hospital for 4 hours a day. Someone whose life has become limited. And the team at UC Health is fantastic. It's amazing. They're really focused on patient experience. They said, we want to make sure that while they come in and they sit in our hospital for 4 hours, they're able to feel like they're still getting a taste of what the world has to offer, and especially what the state of Colorado has to offer, which, as I'm sure you know, is just full of phenomenal outdoor experiences.
I know you have quite a bit of content, but give me some example of the content that's available in your platform, because I know you create a lot of it yourself or you acquire it. And what seems to be the most popular experiences?
Yeah. So let's just carry on with the UC Health comments for a moment. So we continue to work with UC Health, and we have over 100 systems deployed across their hospital network, and they are phenomenal. They've really shown what it means to be dedicated to patient experience, and so many people benefit as a result of that. And not only that, but they also have been really involved in making sure that the experiences that we have on our platform and offer on our platform are able to be really, really strong for their own clientele. And so they've fostered a whole bunch of awesome partnerships for us. And one of my favorite stories of a partnership that we did recently was with the Colorado Symphony. And the reason was they had a patient who was stage 4 pancreatic cancer. It's the same cancer that my grandmother had. And she was someone who really spent her whole life involved with music. And what happened with stage 4 cancer and the pandemic raging on was she wasn't able to go and be a part of live music anymore. So the team at UC Health connected us with the team at the Colorado Symphony. And what happens, we got to go on stage with the Colorado Symphony at the Red Rocks Amphitheater, 360 camera right behind the conductor, and filmed their entire concert as the sun was setting at Red Rocks. And it was amazing. We brought it to that patient as like our official unveil. Oh, it was just so special.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. And it's a note on when we think about the experiences we deliver on our platform, I think really we've evolved our strategy from something that was like, we have to do X, we have to do Y, we have to do Z, to something where we've really come to understand if we can impact one individual at one community in a really strong, powerful way, it's worth it. And so that's allowed us to really be strong and really forward-thinking and proactive in our experience delivery. And like I said, our experience team does an amazing job. They're delivering new experiences every single week. They're doing live sessions every single day at this point. Like, we're constantly launching new things, and it's so expansive. And it's expansive because we know that the opportunity for impact is so high. We've seen the impact be so high that we want to make sure that there, every single resident of every single community, there is something that we're going to be able to deliver on our platform that's going to get them to connect in such a deep, fundamental way that it's worth the investment.
It sounds like from what we've talked about today, much of your content is related to travel and musical experiences, would you say? Or is it just so much more than that?
Yeah, it's so much more than that. I think it's easy to talk about travel, especially when you think about the doors being shut in. But some of the sessions we do now, we have a huge meditation library. We should probably talk about that. We have games on the platform. We just launched a fitness platform to get people to start moving. We have tours of famous artists and famous musicians. We do experiences that are crafted by decade, really help reconnect to like certain memories and certain moments from the past. We have a huge growing library, a huge interest in animal therapy. So immersive animal experiences. And really, it's all over the place. We have historical experiences. We have military experiences. We have nature experiences. It's pretty wide spanning.
It sounds incredible. And it also sounds like, I know there are plenty of people that aren't living in assisted living or a senior center that live by themselves that would love this. And is there any way for them to get access?
It's a great question. It's one that we get all the time. Right now, we are primarily focused on deploying in senior living communities and healthcare settings, hospice organizations. But we do have a program called Rendezvous Live, which I loosely mentioned a few times, where we're doing these live programming sessions pretty much every day now. And we have a wait list for people who are interested in joining that on the consumer side. And then on top of that, one of the early partnerships we were really excited about was a partnership with AARP, where we worked together starting back in 2017 to eventually launch a product called Alcove, which today, anybody with their own Oculus headset can go in and they can download and get access to. And it gives a little bit of a taste of all of the ways that we've built out this platform on a single app that anybody can go in and download.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And there's more news coming there. Not more that I can share, but obviously we see that there's a ton of people who have a ton of needs at home. And we are well aware and constantly talking about it.
I want to ask you about hospice because you just mentioned that and that was a question I wanted to ask. But it sounds like a lot of folks in senior living centers do reminiscence therapy sessions. And is Rendezvous part of those or is that a separate therapy?
Yeah, we enable the delivery of a lot of those things. When you think of reminiscence therapy, the experience itself can be broad and then applied in a very like individualistic way, or it can be hyper-personalized. A personal experience I had, one of my favorites from the early days of building this company was we visited a community down in Connecticut and we were doing this big group session. The room was full of people, like staff were there, residents were there, and everybody was so excited to see what this whole VR thing was. And about halfway into the demonstration, they brought in a woman named Mickey. And as they were wheeling her in, her caregiver comes running over to me and says, I need you to understand who this is. Like, Mickey is someone who's been with us since the early days. She's someone who, as long as I knew her, had this big smile on her face, was this really, really bright light in our community, like knew everybody by name, was the first person to say hi to you in the morning, was just like so outgoing, so fun, and just such a pleasure to have. And then she was diagnosed with dementia. And the first symptom that set in was expressive aphasia, which meant that she went from being this outgoing, boisterous personality to all of a sudden she lost the ability to communicate. And she was moved upstairs, so tough. She was moved upstairs into the locked memory care floor. And his eyes start like tearing up. And it's been months and I haven't heard her laugh. I haven't seen her smile. I haven't been able to talk to her. And I just want Mickey back. And we did a little digging, and what we ultimately decided was the best approach to connect with her was through a puppy experience. And so we brought her into this room full of Golden Retriever and Golden Lab puppies, and her reaction was instantaneous.
What a great idea.
Yeah, this huge smile spread across her face. Like, she started calling out to the puppies. She started kissing at them. Like, at one point, she was like, oh, I can almost feel them. And what she was doing is she's having these moments of dialogue towards the puppies. And everybody in the room was just like, the lights turned back on, honestly, for everybody. And when she took her headset off, she actually kept talking.
To the puppies?
No, to us. And she followed me and my co-founder out of the building, holding onto his arm, and was talking to us about how we needed to be using this for school systems, needed to be using this to help people learn, because it would be such an amazing opportunity to help kids learn. And if you think about what that is, it's what we did in 30 minutes is she went from months of not speaking to pitching us business ideas through 30 minutes of VR that was really tailored around what would be likely to get her to connect. And to go back to reminiscence therapy, that's where you could take really broadly applicable experience and make it really wonderful for someone. And then on the flip side, one of the things we're most excited about, and what we're actually actively studying through a clinical trial funded by the National Institute on Aging, is reminiscence therapy that's really empowered by family members, where family members can go in and they can build a life story, a life journey. And this is something that's really, back to the hospice point, it's really important in hospice work by allowing someone to reconnect to the childhood home that they grew up in, to the middle school, the high school that they went to, the college, university that they went to, go back on campus, go back to where they got married and where they went on their honeymoon, the first house that they bought. All these meaningful locations from the early decades of their life, because research shows that as you decline cognitively, you hold on to those early memories. Long-term memory stays intact a lot longer than short-term memory does.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, take comfort in Born Shoes. Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
And being able to deliver these experiences and engage someone in those moments from the early decades is hugely beneficial for a number of reasons, not least of which is it's something that people can actually connect on because they have those memories. And what we're seeing in this clinical trial is through this really personalized, tailored reminiscence therapy that's co-experienced with a loved one, we're seeing definitely mental health improvements, definitely social health improvements. We're seeing reductions in caregiver guilt. We're seeing reductions in caregiver burden. But I think most importantly, we're seeing that the quality and satisfaction in that relationship is increasing on both sides. And I don't know, Patricia, if you've ever been through a negative experience with an aging loved one, but as you become more of a caregiver and someone who focuses more on the health side, it's easy to lose the human side, the relationship side that you've had for decades and decades. So being able to focus and deliver experiences that really focus on the human experience and the relational side, and then seeing that that actually translates to cognitive benefits and health benefits, it's really, really exciting. I'm really excited about the study that we're doing. I'm really excited to see how these results come out.
Yeah, that's incredible. So you are going to stay focused on seniors at the moment, but you're looking at potentially ideas that dovetail the senior population, which could be cancer, could be neurodegenerative illness.
Could be cancer, could be disability. Yeah, could definitely be neurodegenerative. Some of my favorite demonstrations have been at children's hospitals. And again, we've actually taken steps. We have pretty large deployments in a couple of healthcare systems across the US. And for us, really, our mission is on reducing social isolation. And that's not something that is limited to the aging population. It's where our brand is strongest. It's where my personal ties are strongest. And a lot of our teams have really strong personal ties to the aging process as well. But all of the work, it's not individualized. We're able to be really scalable from an impact perspective. And again, that goes back to the way that we've built the platform to be so user-friendly.
Well, and you're so focused. I'm sure there are other people working on VR in different categories. And here you seem so completely mission-driven that you've accomplished so much from this whole process.
Yeah, thanks.
When you talk about depression and isolation and cognition and anxiety and how this stimulates mental activity, it's incredible. I could even see it when someone's in labor. If you think about the ways that VR could be used to distract someone from pain, you can probably think of a lot of different ways to use it.
Totally. And there are actually studies that have been done on the use of VR during active labor. There have been studies. We did one on the use of VR with patients during their colonoscopies. And I don't know if you know this, but
oh no,
the US is one of the only westernized countries that, or maybe the worst westernized country at managing pain during a colonoscopy. And a lot of doctors will give fentanyl, which is obviously terrifying because there's a huge opioid epidemic. And what we saw was that it's been a few years since we did a study. It was over 90%. I want to say it was like 98% of participants chose to not have fentanyl administered and instead used VR. And 98% of them did not take the headset off and ask for the drug. They were happy in VR. And so there's all sorts of opportunities. I think what is really important to note is that while there's all sorts of opportunities, the aging population is so often overlooked. And
I agree.
It's really important that more and more people turn their attention towards how do we empower a better aging process? How do we make sure that in the future, even as you and I get to an older age, like I want a better aging experience for myself. And that starts now. That starts with more innovators, more technologists looking at the future of aging and saying, hey, we can do this in a better way.
I have thought a lot about how to reimagine the whole aging process. And I feel like this product can be so helpful. And so as an entrepreneur, you started this business 6 years ago, you said, what advice would you give to others who want to get started, but might be intimidated by all the work it takes to build a company? Do you think there is some startup advice that you have?
Definitely. The question is, do you want startup advice for age tech or want startup advice generally?
Oh, let's do age tech.
Let's do age tech. I think for anybody listening who's interested in starting their own company, don't be scared of the amount of work that it takes. Don't be scared. Figure out a way to be invigorated by it. If you really truly want to start a company from scratch, you need to be excited about what it means to start from scratch because it takes a lot. It takes a lot of emotional labor. It takes a lot of commitment. And so if you're scared of that, it might not be the right choice for you. But if you're invigorated and you're a little nervous and trying to figure out how to do it, that's totally separate. But figure out a way to make it exciting. Because if you're able to wake up excited every day about what it is that you're building, no amount of work is going to be too much. I've been doing this for 6 years and I still wake up eager to get to my computer and get to work. I think one of the things that we've done really, really well over the past 6 years, and especially over the past 2 years during the pandemic, when we haven't had as much in-person time, either as a team or with our community partners, is we've made sure that the team that works directly with our partners, whenever they hear something magical, we use this term magical moments because it's something that really authentically, truly happens when the right person gives the right experience to the right resident. And you see like that story that I mentioned with Mickey, you see somebody just wake up, come alive, like really, really engaged. Like that happens every single day. And whenever we hear from a partner that they've done something like that, we make sure that story comes back internally. Because as you mentioned, our entire team is so mission-driven, so mission-aligned that making sure that we have that exposure to the impact of the work that we do as frequently as possible makes it really easy to stay motivated and really easy, like I said, to just wake up excited about what we're building.
Oh, that's so great. I know so many people would be excited to have that same feeling. Kyle, are there other things, areas that you'd like to share? Have I missed any? I'm sure I've missed a bunch of big things, but let me ask you about mindfulness and meditation.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't talked about that. That's probably relevant for your audience.
Yeah, it is relevant for our audience. We talk about it quite a bit, and we talk about a lot of things that are related to it around self-compassion and compassion for others, which I think dovetails with so much that you're doing. But what do you feel the impact is of meditation using VR with your audience?
I think from a personal perspective, I know that when I was first introduced to the concept of guided meditation, loved it, really wanted to figure it out. The reality is to do a guided meditation, especially if you're like building imagery during the meditation, it's hard. There is a little cognitive load, especially as you learn in the process. And what VR creates an opportunity for is to actually build that relaxing meditative environment without any cognitive work on your side, which I know there's definitely people who are listening who are like, well, that's part of the point, which I get. And I totally get. But some people, as they build that practice, probably need help. And what does it mean to put yourself into a state in which you're able to really focus and just be purely mindful or really focus on your breathing? And I think VR creates a really great opportunity to ease either the transition or for the aging population where cognitive capacity might have declined a bit and you can't really do that kind of environmental building, you can put someone in that environment and then really focus in on the breath. And I think that's been really exciting. And that's one of the reasons that we first started building for meditation content in the platform.
Yeah. I do think it helps with anxiety among this elder population, but it's also, to your point, visualization and working with pain. So there are a lot of different angles to that that VR could for sure support.
Yeah. And from an immersion experience, like unfortunately, a lot of older adults spend significant time surrounded by things that they may not want to be surrounded by. Like my grandfather, again, is a great example. His kitchen table is full of pill bottles. It's full of reminders. It's full of note cards on things to do. It's full of these visual cues that say, you're getting older. And you put on that VR headset and all of those visual cues are removed, which by nature makes it easier to focus on your breath, to focus on something else. And it's so simple, but it's so beautiful.
Well, the work you're doing in this space is brilliant. And I thank you so much for being so mission-driven and so excited about the work and seeing all the research and impact has been exciting.
Yeah, thanks, Patricia.
Thank you, Kyle.
The only thing, if you have a couple more minutes, so we did start building live meditations into our program a year ago, which I feel like we should talk about. And then I know that we also brought some Muse meditations into the platform about a year ago.
I actually worked with your team maybe a year ago to provide some of the Muse and Meditation Studio meditations, and your team created the visuals for the meditation. So that was all very exciting to do.
I got to say publicly, thank you. That content has been amazing. And that was, like you said, a year ago. And that was part of our very first endeavor into really, what can we do with meditation? What can we do with mindfulness? And what can we do in a way that is really intentional? And so that was part of the May Mental Health Awareness Month in 2021. And so we started working with your team and we started working with a mindfulness instructor to actually do live meditations every single day. And yeah, it was really wonderful. I think what we realized, and we realized even before we took that step, is that you look at Gen Z, you look at millennials, like I think that there's a lot more adoption in mental health practice today. And I think the older adult population, similar to when we think about cutting edge technology, that wasn't something that people talked about every single day. The idea of therapy, the idea of meditation, mindfulness, right? It was definitely more niche back then.
Right. Now it's everybody, tip of the tongue.
It's tip of the tongue for everybody. And we realized that there was going to be a little bit of, similar to when we started deploying VR, we were really going to need to make a commitment to education, or we're going to make a commitment to, this might not work right away, but we're in it for the long run. We're in it to help build, break down some stigma, break down some barriers, and make people understand that the opportunity to come in and spend 15 minutes being mindful every day is, it's a great thing, full of benefits. And we're going to show up. And we just did it again for May Mental Health Awareness Month 2022. We did daily meditations and we're continuing to do a few per week. And we're showing up consistently, knowing that it's going to take some time to build the practice. But we've seen an uptick. We've seen people as recently as Monday, somebody reached out and was like, hey, I didn't see the session on the calendar. Like, you guys are still doing this. And we were like, oh, yeah. And made sure that they had access.
I can vouch for the fact that it helps. I have a friend's. Her mother, who's 91 years old, has had one of our teachers, Christina Dufour, teach her. She lives near her in Connecticut, and she comes once a week to teach her meditation. She's been doing it for 4 years, and it's had a huge impact on her. She lives in her own home, but she's like wild for meditation. She really thanks me every single time we get on the phone. So it's very funny.
That's awesome. And gratitude, there's something beautiful about the tie between people who practice mindfulness and meditation and express gratitude. And that's actually one of the themes that we really focus on, and because there's so much research that shows the positive emotional benefits of the expression of gratitude.
Well, and it's especially important. I've done a number of interviews on aging of late with some Buddhists, some Parker Palmer, who has many beautiful books on aging with grace. And it's very interesting because it's so important to inject joy and novelty because there are so many losses and you want to balance out that equation.
Yeah. And that's what we have the pleasure of doing every single day.
You do. Thank you. Yay.
Yeah. This was a delightful conversation. I'm glad we had time to talk about this.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today. For more on Kyle and his work, head over to rendezvous.com. And as always, take a moment to check out the Muse headband at choosemuse.com. Lots of new features. And if you have questions or suggestions, email us at untangle@choosemuse.com. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.